Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Preacher and the Miracle Man Show for this Monday, October 1st, 2018. And I'm so glad to be with you tonight. I'm your host, the Miracle Man. And I'm so glad you could join us, wherever you may be. Whether you be here in Livermore, Michigan, around the country, or around the world, we welcome you. And as well, and as always, we always say, that God would bless you wherever you may be listening from. Regardless of what device it is, what we care about is that you get blessed by God. I am here at McDonald's at 1711 South Saginaw Road here in Midland, across the road from a Kmart. We're southeast of a Disability Network of Mid-Michigan office and northwest of an Admiral Flash Marathon. Yes, today is Monday, so I did the Mac Monday. McDonald's has some cool new deals out there. One of them is any day to the end of the year, if you buy a medium or large fry, then you can get a free drink if you got the app. Free soft drink. So that's pretty cool. But you're saying, well, Miracle Man, what did you eat? Well, I had a McDouble. No, a McChicken. A single cheeseburger, a large fry, which I'm still finishing, and excuse me. We all know that Jesus, when he was there with the disciples, if ever he was looking for a drink from the well or something, I think he reached for the Coca-Cola. I don't think he reached for no Dr. Pepper. Jesus drank a Coke. We know he did. No, we all know it was water, but I'd like to think it was Coke. And the woman at the well, I'd like to say she was the woman in front of him at the Coke fountain at McDonald's. You know, she'd be up there getting her soda cup filled with Coca-Cola. Jesus was behind her, and he'd be there talking to her and talking about, you know, how if you're thirsty, you need me, you know. And he said, I have food to eat that you know not of. I don't think it was a special burger at McDonald's, even though it might have been. Who knows? Truth is, though, we all know there was no McDonald's back in those days. But we're just imagining it as it would have went if it was written. If there had been McDonald's back then, how it would have went. But anyhow, go check out the deals on the McDonald's app, please. Another good deal they have right now. One time per week, you can go to McDonald's and turn the clock on pricing a little bit, as you'll be able to get a small or medium fry for just $1. But you'll only be able to get it once a week, and you have to use the app. And yet, in order to take advantage of this awesome offer. So just a heads up to let you know about the great deals that can be had at your local McDonald's. And at McDonald's, I'm loving it, always. What's that? We have another special message from our sponsor, McDonald's. They're starting a new game called Trick, Treat, Win. Available in-store from Friday, October 5th of this year to Wednesday, October 31st. You'll be able to play it in-store or online or via the app. In-store, you'll be able to find game pieces on specially marked packaging. Game pieces will be available on items including, but not limited to, one game piece on items such as filet of fish, a 10-piece nugget, a 6-piece buttermilk crispy chicken, a quarter pounder with cheese, medium McCafe drinks, and more. There will be 2 game pieces on large fries and 20-piece chicken McNuggets. Reminder, game pieces will only be available from October 5th until either Halloween or when the tickets are exhausted. No purchase necessary. Go to on McDonald's.com. You should be able to find a link to it somewhere. I forget the website that they're using, whether it's playatmcd.com or tricktreatwin.com. I forget which one it is they're using. But go to McDonald's.com to figure that out. But food prizes that can be won include a medium fry, snack size McFlurry, a Big Mac or artisan chicken sandwich. A biscuit sandwich for breakfast, or a small McCafe smoothie, frappe, or shake. You get to choose which one you would like. What I mean is the smoothie or shake. One. Participation may vary. See store for details. And before I move on, I will just say that chances of getting a food prize are approximately 1 in 4. It is actually 1 in 4.13. And other prizes include money up to $50,000, some trips, a few cars they're giving away, and other games. So, yes, it is a lot of different prizes. It's different from Monopoly, but hey, at least they're playing a game. It's been 2 years since I've had the fun of peeling off game stamps at McDonald's. And honestly, it is a lot of fun. I wish they would have done Monopoly last year so I could come on here and scream about what was going on with the Monopoly. No, I wouldn't come on here screaming, but I would have been giving you some insights as to how I'm doing. Maybe a little whiny, like if during the Monopoly game I'm going and getting a Coke every day during a game, and all the cups, I'd have tickets on them. And what if during Monopoly I don't win anything over the course of 20 tickets off of medium drink cups? Actually, 24 tickets, I should say. That actually happened to me the last time I had a Monopoly game, 2016. Because I was keeping tally. So over the course of like 12 days, I won nothing off the cups. But I'd win if I'd got other things, like a large fry or something. Of course, the biggest food prize that I like to win is a McFlurry. And I don't know as to why. To me, it's just something special, you know, when you win a McFlurry. Off a McDonald's game, that's pretty cool. When you win a medium fry, it's pretty cool, but it's not the same thing as winning a McFlurry. It's really not. See store for details and have fun playing the game. Something else I want to talk to you about. I will be going to Georgia for a few days, starting a week from this coming Sunday. I'm going to be gone Sunday the 14th to Friday the 19th. I don't know what I'm going to do for shows that week. The bare minimum of shows I'm going to do is one. There may be possibly two shows, but they'd be more condensed, more straight to the point, because I'll be on the road. Times may even be adjusted. My plan is to do a bare minimum of one show when I'm there. Possibly two. But they'll be done more like at a time when we're in the room for the night and we have no other plans So it might be a bit later of a show, like maybe 8:30 or something. Just bear with me. I don't think there's going to be three shows, though. I really don't. I'm just being honest with you. But I will do at least one, probably, likely two. I'm going to need to work on some details and stuff because I want to be able to talk to you guys, what's going on down there, the good food I'm eating, malls I'm going to, some cool stuff about Coke, Coca-Cola. So I can persuade you guys even more so why you guys don't need to drink a Dr. Pepper and why you need to drink a Coke. But I also want to find some kind of Civil War site while I'm down there. That'd be pretty cool. But it's always cool to learn about history, to learn about the history of America. A guy who dreams about the South like me, my favorite places in America are the South. My most treasured memories of me vacationing, many of them are in the southern U.S. Yes, when I was little, there were unpleasant memories in Chattanooga, but none of them had to do with the city. They all had to just do with the surgeries I was having and stuff, but as a city and as an area, I love it more and more every time I go. The southern U.S. I really enjoy it. Looking forward to have some great food. Oh, man. I'm trying to think right now about how I'm going to do the shows. Each one, if there's two shows, each one will have some word in it. Not quite in depth as what we normally do. And then instead of doing the little monologue that I do, I'll be talking about the vacation and what I've been up to that day instead of doing my little monologue. Because we always say, you know, faith, food, faith, fun, sports. When we talk about that fun, that's like whatever I come up with, and that's my monologue. Sometimes it can be when I talk about current events that have nothing to do with politics, because I'm not going to take my time on the show to talk about that Supreme Court justice thing. Yes, I listened to the other guys, to Glenn Beck and them, and to hear what they have to say so that I can have their opinion. I'm not going to take up the airtime, though, to do that on this show, because I don't do that here. I'm a way to get away from that. What I mean is, I'm different on the show. That's why most of y'all would rather hear about the food I'm eating than hear about what they're saying about Brett, or not saying about Brett, or whatever. Sorry, y'all isn't exactly proper English, but I am one of those people who enjoy the African American as well as the Southern in a way that they say things. And y'all is just one of those things that both groups have in common. And that's why I say that sometimes. I can remember one trip. Let me check this time before I tell the story. All right, one story, then I'm going to introduce the show, then we're going to get into the word. So, I will be able to do the Football Central starting with 7:25. It won't have to be 7:20 tonight. So get 5 minutes back that way, but still, I want to be able to sow the word of the Lord into your life without rushing it. But before I do any of that, one quick story. Okay. So, one time several years ago, me, my mom, dad, went to Nashville to see my dad's sister, who had been down there for a time. Some stuff. But then we went to Nashville, and pretty cool, but the best mall had been closed due for a time and would still be closed for another year due to flooding it had experienced and some other things. So we were just kind of bumming. Me and my mom were kind of bumming. Then we go to Chattanooga, and it felt like I had been gotten to a whole nother dimension. And I felt like I was like, ah, this is good. Feels so good to be home. And it's like you wake up in the morning, the birds are singing. I'm not a coffee drinker, so I won't say that, but I'll say the breakfast is being made. There's some, I'm going to use a Southern way of saying it. The biscuits and gravy are being made, and fresh sausage being fried to go on top of those biscuits, or however you make the biscuits and gravy, you get to decide, you know. But it's like a new dimension compared to Nashville on that particular trip. And in addition, we'd like walk into the hotel or walk into Cracker Barrel, and we'd be walking in like this, and we'd hear, "Hi, y'all. How y'all doing?" Referring to me, my mom, and dad, and multiple places we went for those few days that we were in Chattanooga. It didn't matter whether we were downtown, walking back into the hotel, we were at the mall getting things, when we went to the restaurant, people were just so friendly. And it was beautiful thing. My mom had her purse. And something happened, and her purse ended up getting turned back in. And the people at the store in that mall, they were so nice about it. And when I've been down south, I had a worker at a Checkers, Lenox Square Mall in Atlanta, 4 years ago. Peachtree Street Northeast, right near Georgia 400. One of the Southeast premier shopping destinations, Lenox Square Mall. One of the ladies at the Checkers in that mall. I go in there to order a Cherry Coke, no ice. Says, okay, that'll be. And I have my card open, just looking for my wallet open, just looking for my card. It had literally taken 8 seconds or whatever. And then I got my card out, you know, and kind of be like, it's on the house. The worker did. Another thing happened to me at a DQ in a mall in Nashville. I wanted a Blizzard and then paid for. That ain't favor. I don't know what it that is. So cool that happened. And people are so nice down there. I love it. Even Nashville, I would say. Not all tourist trap. There are a lot of very nice people down there. There are. I might quite possibly, no guarantees, but quite possibly I'll be back in Nashville around New Year's Eve again. Hopefully this time if I go, I'll be able to go to the music, you know, drop, because hopefully it'll be warmer. I really wanted to go, but I was the one who decided we weren't going because it was so cold. And I was the one who wanted to go see that ball drop, that music note drop, but hopefully this year we'll be able to see it. All right. Time just flies by so fast. Sometimes I wish I could just hit the stop button on time and we could just sit here and I could tell you stories. So maybe someday. All right. Time is flying so fast that I'm just going to say, please, if you got any friends who are interested in listening to the show, just tell them to go to blogtalkradio.com. The search bar, type in Up for Entertainment. Click on the link that says Living Large. Click on a little bubble thing that says Preacher and Miracle Man. That's us. Hit that follow button, please. And it's a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. A phone number. We can talk about anything you want to talk about. But if you want to talk about politics, I'm going to tell you to pray for those who have authority over you, just like the Bible says. pray for those who have authority over you. And I'm also going to tell you to get out there and vote on November 6th. After that, you can go listen to some Christmas music. I'm going to start that possibly on the trip down to Atlanta because how early the Halloween store opened on me in the mall. Because God's holiday, I think, gets more time than a holiday that's not about God. It opened on like September 1st, so I figure, why don't we just listen to some Christmas music on the way to Atlanta? I just might do it. Because I am going to start it right after Halloween, regardless. In all means, telephone number to call us and talk to me about whatever you want to talk about with me. I want to thank you. Is there something I can do better at on the show for you guys? The phone number is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that telephone number is area code 215-383-3810. Please listen for the prompts, and then press 1 when you hear the prompt that says to call into the live show, press 1. And then my assistant Josh will let me know, hey, Riv, we got a caller. Then I'll let you on, and I'll say, what say you? And I'll give you the floor, and we can talk. Amen. Now, I'm going to pray. And then we're going to go right to Hebrews 11 after prayer. And I'm going to read you the faith verses like we do. Then I want to talk to you for a few minutes about faith and patience, the power twins. And part of what I want to get to is that you got to be able to have, you got to have faith in God, but you also have to have patience. You know, because that manifestation won't always happen in 3 or 5 minutes or in a year. Sometimes it'll take a while for you to notice it, even though it's been bought and paid for on Calvary. And we're going to talk about that for a few minutes tonight, after we pray and after I read the verses. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great show. I also thank you for this great audience that has joined me from near and far. Thank you that these people have God on board this program. They found it. None of them have found it on accident, just searching on the website, seeing what broadcasts are on. No. Anyone who's joined this program, we know that it is with the purpose. Maybe some of them just joined because they want to hear me talk about football. We know and we hope and we know that they also really want to hear about you and to learn of your ways, and learn from your word about you and about faith. Thank you that their hearts are prepared to receive. Thank you that you'll use me tonight. You strengthen my voice, sharpen my memory tonight, and just let your word flow through me. And just use me as an oracle for you tonight. And may I say what you have me say. And I give you information. I give you permission, God, to interrupt me at any time tonight, God. I'm gonna let you be in charge tonight of this program. And I thank you right now. I make my confessions over the show. Finances are coming in. Partners are coming in who want to help me with this work. New equipment's coming in. But more important than any of that, increases in audience are coming to this show. And more important than that, God, souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this program. Hundreds of souls, thousands of souls, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people coming to you as a result of this program. I give you praise and honor and glory for that in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise his holy name. Let's open up our Bibles, please, to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Pray in tongues if you're filled in the Holy Spirit. Just pray in the Spirit on your way over there. Le shaker mahodra mana shodra mana le derana mona mana o shuk mahodra mana shodra. That's not for show and tell. That's just not to show God anything. When you pray in tongues, you're building yourself up when you pray in the Holy Ghost. That's what you do when you pray in the Holy Ghost. You're building up yourself. You're not just speaking some silly foreign language. So, when I pray, you pray. As I'm beginning to read, you follow along with me. If I sing a song tonight and you know the lyrics, go ahead and sing it along with me. So whatever I do at McDonald's, you do it here, because I believe in participation, not just sitting here and trying to memorize or spectators or anything like that. Participation is the name of the game. Amen. Go to Hebrews 11. We're going to begin right at verse 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for, and based on what you see the score is of the football game on the TV screen. Wait a minute. Josh, does it say that? It's based off of what down it is and who has the ball. Does it say that? Oh, faith is the substance being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Oh, and this is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did, and by faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. He was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, I like to add a little something to this. But with faith, it is possible to please God. because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now let's continue. We'll go into verse 7. By faith Noah, when he was warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear he built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, became descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to his future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child. They were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because they were looking ahead to his reward. Because he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, persevered because he saw him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. What more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and they became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, whilst others were chained and were put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawn to. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. All right. All right. That is some good work. All right. We know, in order to please God, we must have faith. Can't please God, can't do what God asks of you, can't fulfill his requirements, can't do his commandments, can't. I mean, the Ten Commandments, right? But can't really, truly please God if you don't have faith. We got that down. In addition, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of what we haven't seen yet. So we're still believing for it. By faith we have it. By faith we have it. My eyes see. By faith, I have. By faith. Faith calls those things that are not as though they are. Amen. Think about that thing you're believing for and call it in right now. All right. That 15-second pause was so that you could just sit there, talk to God about that thing that you're believing for. Call it by name. Like I claim, you know, whatever it is that you're believing for. Then there's patience. All right. You got to have patience. Oh, you're going to tell me that God's a slow God and that he's not going to do it right away. No! It's not that he's a slow God. That thing that you're believing for, you believing for a miracle, whatever it is that you're believing for from him, he already bought it for you up. Calvary. It's already paid for. The payment's been made. And the healing is already there. I have the eyesight. I have normal hearing in my right ear and don't need the hearing aid anymore. But but it hasn't manifested itself yet. My eyesight was taken from me when I was 3 months old. I'm 29 and 2 months old. So later this month, it will have been exactly 29 years ago that I lost my eyesight. Have I given up on God? No. Still patiently waiting on God. And I still wait on the Lord for that manifestation to take place. And I believe for it to be speedy. You got to have patience. You can have faith, you also got to have patience. That's part of having trust. Because faith is trusting God. If you're going to trust someone, you got to have patience too. So it applies with God more so than when it applies with other people. Now, Lord, time is so short. Time is run out. But I will be back really soon to continue teaching on this topic about faith and patience and how you have to have both. And Lord, thank you. You bless these people tonight. Thank you that we will all get this word inside of us tonight. We'll have our faith. You know that you'll do what you said, but we'll also have patience as we wait for the manifestation. And we believe God for the manifestation. And I give you praise and honor and glory tonight. For that, in Jesus' matchless name, everybody said, amen. All right. So, I'm not going to talk about baseball until everything has been finalized, and we'll know later tonight because there had to be two game number 163 in the National League since Milwaukee beat the Tigers yesterday, and since Denver got a win yesterday in the West, the Colorado Rockies. So the NL Central and NL West had to have a one-game playoff to decide the division winner. So let you know tomorrow night what happened, as well as do a final analysis on the Tigers. But tonight, it is 7:25, basically, so we're going to go right into Football Central. Well, hello, everybody. Those of you who are joining us for Football Central, hello, everybody, and I want to welcome you to another edition of Football Central here on this Monday, October 1st, here on the Miracle Man Show. And so glad you could join us tonight. And we do have, as we always do every Monday and Wednesday, I'm always writing on my notes, you know, and making plans for what I'm going to talk about. And yes, I have the Midland, I have Dow, I have Michigan, Michigan State. But then I have a bonus. Now, I don't have a bonus every week, but this is a special. Ohio State at Penn State. And then, of course, we have also a rundown of who the top five are. And how I feel about that ranking. NFL. Minnesota losing to the Rams, as I expected would happen. But what happened in Dallas? What happened in Dallas with that field goal? How did that happen? How did that happen? Why couldn't we just be in victory formation? Talking about the line. So we'll be talking about that a little bit. And we'll go from there. And the Falcons losing to the Bengals. Very surprised there on what happened. So, let's get right to the action. I will first take you to Midland High School, where I was at on Friday as Mile High School, Midland High School, took on the Mount Pleasant Oilers. Mount Pleasant came into this game 5-0, looking to get into the playoffs. Would get in automatically with the win. A tandem where there was a with the two brothers, the senior is the quarterback, the junior is a receiver. And on the other side, you had Midland, 3-2, 3-0 in the Valley. Chemex with two losses early in the season. We're looking to keep that winning streak going. When I picked that game, I figured the Chemex would keep that momentum. I figured they would give Mount Pleasant a wake-up call by beating them. Well, Midland was the one who actually received the wake-up call as they got beat by 20 points by Mount Pleasant. As Mount Pleasant beat them 40-20. First, Midland had a 3-and-out, then Mount Pleasant 3-and-out. Midland got the ball, and there was a lost fumble. Other than that one lost fumble, everyone was at least able to hold on to the ball. So ball security wasn't too much of an issue. Midland had a few more 3-and-outs that I would have liked than I would have liked, and Mount Pleasant, according to their coach, Jason McIntyre, they say they have a formula in order to beat Midland. That formula is called this. Make big plays. Fortunately for Midland's case, unfortunately for Mount Pleasant's case, the previous couple of years, they hadn't really been executing that to the best of their ability. Now, 2 years ago, they did take Midland to overtime. We did beat them in that overtime. But Mount Pleasant did, of course, make some big plays. Last year, though, they got beat pretty good by Midland. Mount Pleasant did, and they didn't make the good play, the big plays that would have been necessary to beat the Canucks. But this year, Mount Pleasant made the big plays. Midland, two times they had to go for field goals that should have been touchdowns. They would have been touchdowns with good extra points. That score, instead of being 40-20, would have read 40-28, which I think would have been a better indicator as to how that game was played. Because according to Coach Mettner, it was called a good game. Good. Didn't say great. He said well fought. But Mount Pleasant had size advantage on us and speed. They were just hard to bring down. Next for Midland, a Bay City Central game, which we should be able to win. And then Bangor John Glenn, which will be the Bay City Central game will be in Bay City. The Bay City John Glenn game will be in Midland. I will be at the one that will be in Midland. I will be there. Now, after that will be the Dowling. And I will be at the Dowling. Even though it'll be the day I'll be getting back from vacay, I don't care. I'm going to, if I can, I'm going to be at that game. Scream it if I have to, but I'm going to be tuned in somehow to that game because that game is of high importance. It always is. I want to be able to tell you guys about it. Let's talk about Dow. Dow, another big win. Not too much to be said. They rolled over Saginaw 49-8. Another huge win by the Chargers. Four wins in a row. 4-2. They go take on Bay City Western on Friday for Dow High's homecoming. After that, they got to go to Mount Pleasant. I will not be at the Dow Mount Pleasant game as it will be in Mount Pleasant, but I will be checking in at least on Twitter or somehow streaming it while I'm at the Midland game to see what's going on out there in Mount Pleasant. Because that is a key barometers so we can see where Dow's at. And then, so we have that going for them. But the coach said, Watkins said, you know, they played very well, just very sound. Moving on quick because not too much to talk about. Michigan Northwestern. Michigan 20, Northwestern 17. Michigan came up from behind and was able to win that game. Good job by the defensive linemen as they made Jim Brandstanders say, set time. Several times as the defense recorded several sacks. If I could, I would do this once in a while. If I was the play-by-play announcer, if he saw it first, and I could see it. I'd have them say, what time is it? And then I would say, set time. because I love it that he said that fact time. It's awesome. It really gives it another dimension. If he came up with that. I really like that. Fact time. As Michigan 20, Wildcats 17. They've proven that they can come from behind when they need to, as that'll be important, as Michigan will be playing Maryland on Saturday, looking to keep on that winning streak before they get into the more difficult part of the schedule. Well, they'll have to play Wisconsin, they'll have to play Ohio State, Penn State, which in fact, and Michigan State. But this leads me to the Ohio State-Penn State game. You know how I told you guys a little bit ago that there was a bonus game? I actually noted that in my notes today when I was taking notes on my laptop. There was a bonus. You say, what's a bonus? Bonus is a game that I decided to talk about that I didn't even take note of on Wednesday, even though I would have known about it, that it was going to take place. So, here we go to Happy Valley, Pennsylvania, as we had the Ohio State Buckeyes taking on the Penn State Nittany Lions. And yes, I did honestly think Ohio State was going to win that ballgame. But Ohio State had to come from behind by 13 to get that win. They were behind 13 points at one point early in that fourth quarter. Midway through that fourth quarter. Guess what Ohio State did? Hurried back. Big touchdown run. Then another big touchdown later. And as they were able to win 27-26, Buckeyes over the Nittany Lions. You ask, what does this do with the top 25? Well, as far as the Big Ten standings, it means that Ohio State is in the driver's seat of the Big Ten East now. Michigan would be ahead of Penn State now when you look at just the Big Ten East alone, because Penn State just lost to Ohio State, and that was an in-division game. So, it would be Big Ten East. It would be Ohio State, Michigan. Even though in terms of rankings in the AP Top 25, Michigan is now ranked number 15. What? They were at 11. I don't know why they dropped. They beat Northwestern. They're at number 15. I don't know why, but that's what it says, number 15. Penn State was number 8. Now they're like number 11 or 12. OSU was number 4, now number 3. Who else is in the top 5, you may ask? Number 1 is Alabama, number 2 is Georgia. Both of them are just rolling big time. Haven't been challenged too much, either one of them. Number 3 is, that state down south. Not about to get myself on trouble on this program. I think I probably got some flack when I actually admitted that I like the Buckeyes as much as I do. So I'm going to be careful. I'm going to try to just call them that Tate of the South when I talk about the Buckeyes now. So, yeah, number three, that state down south. Number four, Clemson. Number five is forget who number five is. LSU. LSU is number five. Did I get that right, Josh? Is it LSU number five? But, yeah, four of the top five are from southern states. Three of them are SEC schools. And people, last year, I get it, the SEC wasn't the greatest conference in the world last year, but this year, at least, when you look at the top five, SEC is back. Because three of the top five. Oh, and Auburn's number nine. So that's four of the top ten. Oh, and Kentucky's number 13. Make it five of 15. Of 15. One third are from SECs. Of the top 25, if you include Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas, Florida, Florida State, Clemson, more than half of 13 or 14 of the top 25 teams are from southern states. So the South has more than anyone else. West has a few too, though, but the Northeast, not so much. Big Ten is doing decent. Michigan and Michigan State and Ohio State and Penn State, as well as Wisconsin, are in there. Big Ten East is much more stacked than the Big Ten West. Josh, was that LSU, by the way? What? Oh, good, they are five. Yep, I got that right. Number five is confirmed. My statistician over there, it is five. So that's where we stand after 5 weeks of college football. Michigan will play Maryland next. All right. What about the Ohio State thing? Ohio State is your winner. Ohio State is just really doing a good job now that Urban Meyer is back. They got to play Michigan State. They got to play some other teams before the Wolverines play. Ohio State. Buckeyes. No, I'm trying to be careful, but when I like Ohio State as much as it does, sometimes it's just hard to say that state down south. They always call us that state up north. So I'll keep working on it. That doesn't mean I'll suddenly dislike the Buckeyes. Oh, no. I love them. But it's got a balancing act. From Michigan, do the show in Michigan. I do like Michigan. I do like Michigan State. Just a reminder that I do like Ohio State more. But when a Michigan team plays Ohio State, I do not come to do my picks on the show with bias. No. I analyze it, and I say based on what I've seen and heard, who I think can win the ball game. By the way, I do the same thing with Midland and with Dow. I really thought Midland had what it took to beat Mount Pleasant. But there were things Midland didn't do that they should have done, like stop the big plays that Mount Pleasant had. Speaking of things not going the way I thought they would, that takes me right to the NFL, straight to the NFL. And for like this second, I'm skipping Thursday night, even though that was the game I picked before I picked Sunday's game, because I like to pick things in chronological order. Sunday we had Lions at Cowboys. Miracle Man, it was in Dallas. You know it's a loud stadium and it's hard to play in there. Yeah. Well, what? Well, the Lions had came off of that improbable win against the Patriots that even I did not think they would get. And they got it. 26-10. I said that if the Lions were to win the ball game, I said it would be a close game. I was right about that. That would be a close game. But Lions fell behind early in the game. In fact, at one point, they were down by like 10 points on us. The Lions ended up falling to the Cowgirls. 26-24. As their kicker went for a field goal as time was expiring, and they were able to win the ball game. After Detroit had gotten up by a point with like a minute plus to go. 1 minute left to go, but Dallas took their way down the field and was able to get points on the board on us. Where was the defense when we needed them? Where were we to sack him before we could get into field goal range to sack Prescott and to keep Ezekiel Elliott or Zeke in check? Prescott's quite the runner. If they could get some stuff intact, I think Dallas could be a bit better than people give him credit. Now, for Detroit, this was very important. This was the win we needed. Unfortunately, we didn't get it. We're going to have to try harder next game. As we host Green Bay, can we stop Green Bay? Can we keep Rodgers in check? Well, it'll take some work. And the Patriots, they went straight back to work, and they totally demolished the Dolphins big time. Now, let's back it up to Thursday. Beep, beep. Yep, the truck. Some stadiums play the big truck sound like a truck backing up when the away team gets penalized. They'll play the sound of a truck backing up. It's actually kind of funny. I kind of like it. I think it's pretty cool that they play that sound effect. I'm backing it up to Thursday. Now, on Thursday, you have the Vikings versus the Rams in what turned out to be a shootout. The Vikings, though, were on the wrong end of it as they lost to the Rams 38-32. Vikings looked a lot more sharper on the offense. Their quarterback was doing a good job. They were running pretty well. their defense made some mistakes that they really shouldn't have made as they were playing the Rams. And I think the Rams really could make some big noise. I think they are very capable of beating an NFC West division. Of winning the NFC West division. The Seagulls don't exactly seem that great this year. They're okay, but they're not what they were a few years ago. Earl Thomas was taken off the field with a broken leg. No, the Seattle Seagulls aren't looking so good. Also, Bengals over the Falcons? Uh-huh. In overtime, the Bengals went field goal, got it, beat the Falcons. In ATL, I may add. In ATL. They beat them. That's twice in a row now that Atlanta was at home, had a lead, couldn't keep it, went to overtime, lost the ballgame. That's twice. They've got to get to winning now. Otherwise, that 1-3 squad might have to forget about making the playoffs. I was hoping they'd be able to really make big, loud noise in the NFC South. But at 1-3 or not, not when you lose to two of your divisional rivals. Wait a minute. One of them, actually. One. They beat the Panthers. They lost to the Saints. They didn't play the Bucks yet. But they're going to have to step it up a bit if they really want to win the NFC South and get in the playoffs. Because the Saints are still winning. The Browns lost to the Raiders, and what's new there? Browns had a lead at one point, but they couldn't keep it and gave it up and lost to the Raiders in overtime. What's new there? Also, the Steelers losing to the Ravens. People were saying the Steelers had a really high chance of winning the Super Bowl. I think the guy who wrote that column was crazy because the Steelers aren't doing so well. I mean they beat the Bucs, but then yesterday they didn't win. They didn't do what they had to do to win the game. They could have easily been behind 21-0 to the Ravens in Pittsburgh. But they didn't do what they needed to do in order to win the ball game. I'm sorry, you can't make those kind of mistakes like that. Expect to win the ball game. Can't turn the ball over. Can't do that kind of stuff and win the ball game. And a little golden nugget in football. Ultimately, in football, should be like a team. Some situations you want to pass the ball to one of your wide receivers or one of your tight ends. Whoever you know, maybe have two to the left, two to the right. Other times, maybe as a quarterback, you want to run a bit and play the position of running back. Yeah, of course, it depends on what offense you want to run. And you got to see what the defense is doing so that you can get past it. Other times, you want to do the handoff. But you want to make it so that everyone's doing their part. So ultimately, in a good offensive game, the running back should have a good amount of yards too, not just the quarterback. And then but in a well-balanced team, they would throw the ball well and run it well. It's all about team effort. And the teams that are really well balanced oftentimes are among the best teams in the league. College football, pro, high school. Also, having a lot of good veterans helps. That doesn't mean they're all 40 years old in the NFL or nothing. That can mean a lot of good, depending on your position, like a quarterback that in between like his mid or late 20s to like early to mid 30s. Running back who has not hit the wall of 30 yet. No, 30 is not old. I just mean for a running back. Once a running back hits 30, they just don't do as well because the running backs take more hits than anyone else. So it wears down. Team chemistry is really important too. Getting along. Then you can best know what your job is and how you can do the best. Goes that way in offense and defense. All right. So, until tomorrow, until Testimony Tuesday, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will see you tomorrow night. Good night, everyone.